The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory be to thee, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We're just a few weeks into the new year, so I imagine goals and resolutions are still close to you. And I wonder how often you're thinking to yourself, my life will be better when I lose those extra pounds, get a raise, finish a degree, read more books, or perhaps break up with my cell phone, get more exercise, get a new car, a bigger house, a smaller house, a new job, get my kids through high school or college and on to their own lives, get to retirement. This list can go on and on and on. And these are the future life events we think will make our lives better. And I think we go to the same question about our faith, too. I'll be a better Christian when I read the Bible every day, or pray more, or give of my time, talent, and treasure, and when I really, really, really learn to love my neighbor as myself. But on the other side of this coin of life, there is a harder question, the one that we try not to think of, the one that can keep us up at night and brings to the surface what we might want to forget. What if I had done something different than what I did do or didn't do? What if I had listened more, had judged less, had kept my snarky thoughts to myself, had just gone instead of waiting, had made a different choice, had said something, had known the right thing to say, had made that call, had not yelled or demanded or got angry, had said, I'm sorry, said, I love you. These moments of life are painful. They remind us of our shortcomings and weaknesses, our faults and sins, and perhaps they haunt us, and we hope not to repeat them. When we look through our human lens, our purely human context, these seem like the truth. If I can just figure out how to do all things better, then we'll be good, right? We sure put a lot of pressure on ourselves, don't we? And in this context, does the sound of John the Baptizer's fiery and powerful proclamation about the one who is coming with his winnowing fork in hand to gather the wheat and send the chaff to burn make us a little uneasy, a little settled? And I wonder, how hard do we have to work? How good do we have to be to ensure our status as wheat? John's passionate words are powerful in their presentation. Prophecy spoken by a prophet like those of the Old Testament. His words have a prophetic effect on the people of the first century, and they respond to John as both a prophet of the old and something new. John's proclamation of Jesus in the metaphor of the wheat and chaff is only found in Luke's gospel. It's a metaphor that the people of the first century would know. They understand the process of separating the wheat and chaff. It's John's prophecy that attracts them to the Jordan River to be baptized, to repent of their sins, and be washed clean with the claim of falling on the right side of the winnowing fork. John's vision of another one coming with power as judge, whose winnowing fork is ready to throw the wheat up in the air and see who lands safely and who blows away into the fire, is a bit harder for us to imagine. I've never seen a stained glass window with Jesus holding a winnowing fork. Nevertheless, Luke takes John's descriptive metaphor and places it strategically and intentionally into his telling of Jesus' baptism. For Luke, John the Baptizer is the prophetic voice, the bridge from the old to new. And the new John is pointing to in our gospel this morning is the revelation of Jesus through the gift of baptism. So by doing so, Luke moves this metaphor into a new context for us, especially in the light of Jesus and baptism, a human and divine context that begins and ends in love, judgment with love, and a life lived in the power of love. You see, we don't come to baptism to be separated into pieces of what's good and what's not. Baptism is not the process of making us good enough or worthy enough so that God will now love us. It is not a one and done event. We check off our list of life events. Jesus is revealed as the beloved Son in his baptism. He is named as such in this intimate moment, initiated with water, prayer, and with the dove of the Holy Spirit. In his baptism, a relationship of love with God the Father is perfected. This relationship defines Jesus and all he does in his life, death, and resurrection. It's this same relationship of love extended to us in our baptism by our naming, with water and prayer, the Holy Spirit, and a seal of oil to mark us as Christ's own forever. Baptism is a gift of pure grace, a gift of wholeness, bringing us to the fullness of who we are called by name to be. It's this love and gift that brings us to a new reality of life. We are loved, and God comes to us in Jesus to show us a way of life in gratitude for now. We are loved, and our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. We are loved, and we are given the Holy Spirit to guide us when we are uncertain and courage to get us through. We are loved, and we have eternal life with Jesus Christ. We are loved so that we will love others in truth and power, mercy and empathy, kindness and compassion. As a beloved child of God, you are more than enough in this moment and always. So take a deep breath. And another. Relieve the pressure. Release who you think you need to be and all you think you need to do. And in these words of Isaiah, take in God's promise to you. Because You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Amen.